Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Beekeeper, Pollinating Your Organization for Transformative Growth by Katie P. Desiderio and Michael G. Frino. Narrated by Wendy Tremont King. Limit of Liability, Disclaimer of Warranty. While the publisher and author have used their best efforts in preparing this book, they make no representations or warranties with respect to the accuracy or completeness of the contents of this book, and specifically disclaim any implied warranties of merchantability or fitness for a particular purpose. No warranty may be created or extended by sales representatives or written sales materials. The advice and strategies contained herein may not be suitable for your situation. You should consult with a professional where appropriate. Neither the publisher nor author shall be liable for any loss of profit or any other commercial damages, including but not limited to special, incidental, consequential, or other damages. Chapter 1. Before. They say that big events happen in threes. For Henry Ives, this could not be truer. As he sat at the kitchen table of his childhood home in suburban Chicago, he was reflecting on his parents' warmth, grit, and character. These traits had been instilled in him throughout his life. Life event number one had occurred only 6 months earlier. The family had known that Henry's mom was in poor health. His children had lovingly called her Grandma, and she had been a good one. Henry and his wife Catherine had prepared their children, Levi, 8, and Helen, 6, for Grandma's passing. Catherine's sister and her husband had also prepared Beau, who was only 5 years old. They all had the opportunity to grow up with Grandma, and were grateful for that. They had not been prepared when Beau's parents left this wonderful world when they were in a motor vehicle accident. Henry and Catherine had promised that they would be Beau's guardians should anything happen. And now Beau was part of their family. Now Mom had passed away. Henry had just finished cleaning out his family's house for the new owners. They wanted to keep the kitchen table and chairs, and that was the only thing left in the house. Spread across the kitchen table were family pictures, letters, and assorted documents Henry had found in a box. One last box. One last piece of family history in the home he had grown up in. He stared at the larger 8.5 by 11 sealed manila envelope on the table. Unbeknownst to Henry, opening this envelope would change the course of his life. As Henry slid open the flap on the envelope, his curiosity was piqued. He pulled out a folded, handwritten note on a piece of paper yellowed with age. It was from his father, who had passed away 20 years ago. It was dated May 20th, 1964. Henry was only 12 years old then. Henry, I hope this note finds you as I imagine, a wonderful human being that is kind and nurturing. A while back, I bought a piece of land in Iowa. It was an investment I could not resist. It was too beautiful to pass up. Here is the deed to the property which I put in your name. The seeds here are for you. You can plant them wherever you want. But these seeds will help make the environment around you a resource that encourages purpose and happiness for others. Love, Dad. The envelope contained a deed, a map, and a bunch of seeds wrapped in plastic wrap and masking tape, with black marker descriptions printed across the tape. He read the names on the masking tape. Sunflowers, clover, black-eyed Susans, lavender, mint, elderberry, snapdragons, zinnias, and dandelions. The deed indicated that the property was about 2,000 acres, roughly 3 square miles, purchased May 20, 1954, for $5,600. He smiled and chuckled, thinking this was more stuff to deal with. But that reminded him of all the loss, and he held back tears. He knew his father had wonderful intentions. He opened up the map and looked for the property. It was in the middle of nowhere in Iowa, but not far from a main highway and with a stream running through a large lake. He put the seeds back in the envelope, folded up the map, and set the envelope aside. This was life event two. As he drove away from Chicago, Henry looked in the rearview mirror at his childhood home, watching it become a distant dot. He needed to get back home to Minnesota, as he had just sold his marketing firm and was finalizing the deal. He promised to stay on as CEO to help with the transition for the next few years. His company was thriving, and the people who worked for his firm were the reason the company was able to grow so fast. When Henry returned home, he shared with his wife the news of their recently acquired property. His wife seemed excited and equally curious. She smiled and said, "Maybe we could move there someday and raise our kids on a farm." Henry chuckled, but his mind was turning, and a light bulb went off. The idea was not terrible. What would he do after he transitioned the company? He needed something new to keep his mind busy. A few weeks later, Henry told his wife he was going to check out that property in Iowa. It was going to be about a 7-hour drive. Along the drive, he was possibility-focused. He was curious and intrapreneurial. When he arrived, he parked his bright red pickup and pulled out the map of the property. The aerial view showed that the property was shaped like a teardrop. Markings indicated that the land was a combination of brush, dirt, and native trees. He got out and looked around. He could not tell where the property began or ended, but there was a path that led into the property, and it looked like his truck could handle it, so he hopped back up in the cab and put it in drive. On the property was a large lake spanning 10 acres, and several tributaries that fed the lake. It was so beautiful. The streams were not stagnant, nor was the lake. Henry could hear moving water, which meant there was a larger body of water somewhere upstream fueling this zenful sound. Henry drove about 1.5 miles straight to the center of the farm. He got out of the pickup and began walking around. He found some larger stones and marked out a circle 3 feet in diameter. This spot would one day be the heart of growth. He wanted the property to be colorful, so he reached into his pocket and pulled out the plastic-wrapped seeds. Henry walked out of the circle that he had created with the rocks and began planting his father's seeds on the property with a handheld gardening spade. He planted the sunflowers first. Then he planted the black-eyed Susans. Henry made an area specifically for the clover, lavender, mint, and elderberry, just up from the circle. The snapdragons, zinnias, and dandelions were planted sporadically around the property. He listened for the water, walked toward the sound, and found another stream. He followed the stream toward the lake, planting impatiens along the way. In the lake, there were some lily pads, milkweed, and cattail. He wondered if he should have brought his fishing pole, as the lake was active. Small minnows were feeding by the bank and trying to avoid the larger fish that were jumping and rolling on the surface. In about 3 years, Henry thought, he would begin transitioning this property into what would later be known as the H. Ives Family Farms. By then, Levi, Helen, and Beau would be old enough to help him and Catherine build the farm into the vision that was forming in his mind. As Henry drove his truck back toward the main road, with his windows down and the breeze hitting his face, it struck him that the red machine stood out like a sore thumb on the property. He slowed down and put the truck in park, getting out one last time to admire the property. As he turned back, Henry noticed a bee on the hood of the truck, a single bee. He smiled and got back in the truck, capturing the image as clearly as if he had taken a photograph. This spot, Henry decided, is where he would build a house, where he would return with his family. This was life event number 3. Chapter 2. Be Fulfilled. The bee gathers its materials from the flowers of the garden and of the field, and transforms and digests it by a power of its own. Adapted from Leonardo da Vinci. "Hello, this is Catherine," I answered the phone, AirPods in and luggage in tow. I was rushing through the chaos of the airport. The call was from a business broker inquiring about franchising my essential oil business. I respectfully told the broker we were not interested at this time, but was grateful for the inquiry. Orlando was the third city I had traveled to that month. My first stop was Denver, where I helped a management team of 40 sales and marketing managers. I was looking forward to helping them build better relationships with their teams and begin a cultural transformation to attract and retain top talent. The recent mass attrition occurring across so many companies had placed a renewed focus on how managers and leaders are a catalyst to a strong organizational culture. A common theme emerged across many organizations of trying to find out how to build strong teams, while not losing sight of organizational traditions that have been a historic driver of growth. It was then off to New Jersey, where an executive leadership team of a Fortune 500 company was struggling to break down silos, where fixed mindsets were encouraging overuse of traditions. The goal was to learn how to effectively demonstrate agility in considering how they could be cultural transformation stewards and impact collective growth from the top down. This work continued to cascade. I was so energized to help organizations think through how they could transform their culture. My days were filled with conversations about human beings and how to nurture growth within organizations. So many companies are trying to figure out how they can create an environment for people to bring their best selves to work and foster a sense of belonging. As I sat in the Orlando airport, waiting to see if my flight was going to be canceled, which had been the theme for many airlines of late due to pilot shortages, I reflected on the week. I had just presented a case study on deep-level diversity at a major conference for organizational development. I'd had the pleasure of getting qualitative feedback on the work I had been doing from other organizational development leaders and practitioners. The unwavering commitment and curiosity that was demonstrated during the case study roundtable to analyze the case and provide feedback was quite telling. I was not the only one who was seeing that organizations wanted to shift their mindset about people while transforming their culture. That sentiment was all around. I opened my calendar to look at the month ahead. It seemed that the next couple of weeks were going to be quite intense on my travel schedule. Fortunately, my DISC personality style is an SI style, which means that I am easygoing and warm, always ready to offer support, collaborative, and be a team player. I am fueled by connection, harmony, and teaching people how to build relationships while optimizing performance together. That's typical of someone with the SI style. This is probably why I love what I do and don't mind the travel, facilitating meetings and using my enthusiasm and energy to work with and through others. I have been using DISC in my work with organizations for years, and it helps others to become more self-aware of their priorities and mindsets, which enables them to break down barriers when it comes to every organization's most important asset, the people. The phone rang as the airline simultaneously texted me that our flight was taking off in an hour. This was awesome news. I answered the phone, and it was my family inquiring about my flight status. I could see them all on FaceTime, which has made things so much easier. They were excited that I was coming home that evening, and I was excited to see them, too. I was blessed to have a strong star system to provide that ongoing support so I could do my best work, as I helped humanize how organizations were enacting what they espoused to be important. And my family was a very important part of my support system. I returned to checking my calendar. In the upcoming week, I was facilitating a healthcare systems sales team, virtually, from my home office, and then it was off to Boston for two large transformational meetings. These meetings are important to me because they play an important role in cultural transformation. As an organizational development practitioner, the work I am doing has enabled me to make threads of connection between the three levels of leadership: the individual, group, and organizational level. The upcoming meetings were the result of a small micro-intervention that has turned into a macro-organizational intervention through the organization's leadership, modeling the way, and encouraging the same behavior at the group level, while also encouraging individuals to embrace change and be transformational. This is what I love to see. Following that, I would be delivering a keynote at a national conference for 400 individuals who were the recipients of a massive organizational cultural change initiative that is spreading like wildfire, making its way from the organization to the group level, or leadership teams, and now down to all the individuals within the organization. Helping organizations optimize performance through their people is what I love to do. The return on investment is so worth it. There has been a huge buzz within the organizations I'm working with, and differentiated behaviors are taking flight, which are transforming individuals and teams. The surrealness of these transformations makes me smile. I checked the clock and let out a huge sigh. My flight would be leaving in 30 minutes. I was so excited to be heading home. I have my family to thank for all of this work, none of which actually has anything to do with running my growing essential oil company. Sometimes I feel stretched thin and even overwhelmed, but my family is the bee's knees, and I have them to thank for the impact I am making. It is hard to imagine that the journey that brought me here began less than 5 years earlier with a simple family vacation to a farm. Chapter 3. Be Transformational. I was looking forward to my family vacation, which was a time for me to recharge from my busy life running a growing company, being a wife, and mom of two daughters, Lily and Gabby. I had just celebrated my 43rd birthday on May 20th, and while I felt blessed, something was weighing on me. The stresses of daily life are not uncommon for many families, and the social media algorithms seem to have caught on to this, As it appears, every video and meme I was seeing prompted a need for more coffee or a relaxing spa getaway. A warm drink and a spa, I said dreamily, and closed my eyes. Although my vacation would have little to do with the spa, the experience would be transformational. I was just ready to sit down for 20 minutes to decompress from a long day when my kids yelled out, "Mommy, can you come downstairs? We want to talk to you." Just then, my cell phone pinged from my husband, Tom, who was apparently already down there. His text message forewarned me that the kids had an idea for our upcoming summer family vacation. I appreciated the heads up, went downstairs, and hoped there was a spa. Lily and Gabby opened a PowerPoint, which was the last thing I wanted to see, since running our growing company seems to be rife with presentations. But I sat down and got ready for the pitch. The first slide was a farmhouse. I cried internally, already thinking about how to respond. My kids apparently wanted to do a farm experience for our vacation. You heard that right. They wanted to spend over a week at a farm. Lily and Gabby had what adults would call bucket list items to do on the farm, but for my kids, it was their farmer activity list. There was no spa listed in their PowerPoint. It was super cute how they proposed this trip to my husband and me. They basically said they wanted to learn how to be more responsible and see what farmers' kids do to make them realize how great they have it. We both laughed, realizing how clever they are, and agreed they would probably end up in sales someday. Their list was not long. It had one activity per day and left plenty of time for swimming in the property lake, playing sports, and relaxing as a family. They had the whole thing planned for our 9-day trip, which seemed like a very long time to spend on a farm. The list included 1. Milk a cow. 2. Shear a sheep. 3. Feed the pigs. 4. Go fishing. 5. Ride horses. 6. Feed the chickens. 7. Pick vegetables. 8. Enjoy flower gardens. The girls made a compelling case. So it was off to H. Ives Family Farms with the entire family. There was one thing weighing on my mind. Could I leave work behind? Our company, Essentially Proximal, was in the diffusing and essential oil business, and was growing faster than it could adapt. Our mission to cultivate a soul-nourishing experience through nature's beauty had attracted a great team, but the growth was impacting the culture. We had people leave our company and tell us they felt less connected to our mission and values that we held so dear to our company. Recognition, reflection, and connection. While our family needed this time to get centered and recharge, I wanted to know if I could be a transformational owner of my company. The Friday before we left for vacation, we had a town hall meeting with our entire staff, who were excited and overwhelmed by the growth of the company. This change and the recent attrition of managers left people feeling like this was not the company of the past. The town hall was mainly focused on reminding the company of our vision and our values, discussing the work that we did in serving our customers, and making people feel happy and healthy by connecting them with nature's essential elements. I wanted the team to know that the company they joined was growing and changing for the better, and that we all play a role in ensuring the success of that growth and change. Part of the town hall was a Q&A session from employees, so we could discuss any concerns that were on their minds. Sometimes people can be reluctant to speak up and voice their opinions. However, This town hall felt a little bit different. There was more engagement, more participation, more voices that hadn't typically been active in previous town halls. What I found illuminating is that people were expressing concern that they weren't sure that the company culture could remain the same. Leadership at all levels was focused on performance and not people. And our employees felt that our company values of recognition and connection were non-existent between managers and employees. I realized it was the worst time to go away. But my family was looking forward to vacation, and I needed to prioritize this time. I thanked the employees for sharing their experiences with us and assured them we would work to be better. I could sense their anxiety and stresses, so I followed the town hall with a separate meeting with our leadership team. I asked them to be mindful of how their teams and employees were feeling, and more importantly, to be ready to have some real transformational conversations upon return from our vacation. Chapter 4. Be Present. The trip from our home outside Chicago to the middle of Iowa was about a 6-hour drive. The kids had several games for the car ride, which kicked the vacation off with the right tone. The entire goal was to get connected as a family and spend time with the kids. At the same time, I wanted to ensure our team at Essentially Proximal felt supported while we were away. It is not easy to disengage completely when you own your own business. In fact, many of the articles published on work-life balance talk about shutting everything down while on vacation. I am a firm believer in finding the balance and supporting both for me. I get energy from work. We pulled into H. Ives Family Farms and were greeted by Helen Ives, the farm owner's daughter. Helen had the stereotypical farmer look. She was wearing black jeans, a cowgirl hat, and t-shirt that said, "Be friendly." She looked to be in her late 30s, and her dark hair was braided with a large yellow and black striped bow, reminiscent of my childhood. My husband told me she looked like Mary Ann from Gilligan's Island, but then quickly apologized with a wry grin. The reference reminded both of us that an island resort, with a spa, would have been my preferred choice for a vacation. Gabby and Lily jumped out of the car and said hello. I could see them wrinkle their little noses at the unfamiliar smell of the manure, cut grass, sweaty animals, and hay. Then they ran into the barn. We were looking around for someone to help us with our bags when Helen said, "Hey, y'all grab yourselves some of those wheelbarrows and throw your luggage in there. You can wheel them right this way to the front desk. My brother Levi will move your car." Levi handed me a valet ticket. The large straw in his teeth was quite fitting. I handed him a token of appreciation. He tipped his hat and quietly slipped the money into his dirty overalls as he slid into the driver's seat of our SUV. A farm with a valet? How curious, I thought. My husband and I looked at each other, and then the wheelbarrows. While the idea was clever, we saw that the wheelbarrows were likely used for other things in the past. As we placed our luggage in two wheelbarrows, my husband joked and said, "We are now the proud owners of Pui Vuitton luggage." I chuckled and said, "I thought the kids wanted to become more responsible." They were nowhere in sight as we pushed the wheelbarrows through the barn doors to the front desk, which was basically a barn door on two barrels. There was a stack of brochures on one end. We stepped up to the front desk to a big, "Howdy, I'm Bo. Welcome to the H. Ives Family Farms. The best farm in the land. I hope my cousin Levi took good care of you when you arrived," he said. My husband and I nodded and said it was wonderful. Helen was smiling at Lily and Gabby. They were feeding the chickens that were...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?